You're tuning in to the Our Church podcast. This week, Pastor Mark reminds us that as believers, it's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. And it's possible to achieve this through faith, repentance, reproduction, and fellowship.
Let's pray. Father, as we go into your word tonight, we ask you to give us revelation so we can know you, know how to love you better, how to love one another better. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me start off in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, verse 5 through 12.
Daddy! Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua, Benai, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akkub, Shabbatai, Kodiah, Messiah, Kalita, Azariah. This is why I bring them. Haman, Peleah, the Levites, explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. They read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. All the people went away to eat, to drink, to send portions, and to celebrate a great festival, because they understood the words which had been made known to them.
Amen. Lady Hannah Hamm for knocking out all these hard names. I'll take the rest of them from here. Today we're going to talk about joy and the joy of the Lord. And it's neat. I actually had this revelation last week, even as I was speaking last week. And I'm going to read this verse to you from Romans 12 and 2. And it says, Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And one thing about God, I got this revelation even as I was saying it last week, I was getting a revelation as I was actually preaching it. Like, Jesus Christ came to people, when he came to the earth, he came to people that were in physical bondage to Rome. And he was there and did ministry for 3 years. And when he died and left, they were still in physical bondage to Rome. Yet they were declaring freedom. I think we get duped sometimes in our Christianity. I think we always think Jesus comes and is going to change our situation. But Jesus did not change their physical situation. He changed their mindset. You know that Jesus was crucified in a place called Skull? Jesus crucifies the mind. He comes to crucify the mind and change our mindset. You know, I'm not deep in the revelations, but I do understand a few things. Like, you know, the mark of the beast that's going to be on the forehead. Or actually, if you look at the word for forehead they use, it actually means beyond the forehead. The mark is actually on your mind. So before you get a physical mark, many people are already taking a mental mark. And so Jesus comes to crucify the mind and clear out all the marks on our mind so that we would only say yes to his will. But if we buy into the lie that when Jesus comes, he's going to always change our situation, you're going to walk away disappointed. Jesus did not work. But when he left, they were still in as much physical bondage as they were when he came. Romans still were in charge, still treating people poorly, actually treated them worse. But he changed their mindset. Remember, he said, don't look for the kingdom this way or that way. The kingdom of God is within you. He changed their mindset, and as they even went through their suffering, because they had a different mindset, eventually their faith affected Rome. And that's when Christianity began to affect Rome, not by God changing their situation, but by changing their mind. And so whenever we look at scriptures, and we look at things like love and joy and peace, and he's not necessarily talking about what's physically going on around you. But I think we sometimes preach that way, and people get messages that way, and that's why, man, he says some crazy stuff in the scripture, like, I reign on the just and the unjust alike. You ever know there's a lot of unsaved millionaires and a lot of saved broke people? Sometimes I look at the millionaires and say, God, give me a crack at being rich. And he don't do it. But man, so I want us to understand that Jesus has come to deal with our mindsets. When you read the scripture, the kingdom of God is within you. He's always trying to deal with you and your perspective and the way you see things. He wants you to see things from a heavenly perspective, not an earthly perspective. And that's what changes everything. Not that. You know, there are some people that probably before you got saved you didn't like. Then after you got saved, you didn't like them. And you thought, what's wrong? But then, all of a sudden, if you got closer to God, they weren't so bad. Right? Then they became all right. And now you don't have an issue with them no more. They may still have an issue with you. But you don't have an issue with them anymore. Because Jesus changes your mindset. Got it? So as we look at this, in that Nehemiah scripture, it's something so profound in that the people were hearing the word of God in that book, in that scripture. He began to speak the word of God. And if you go to that Nehemiah scripture from chapter 8, verse 5, one thing I love in that scripture is when he poured out the word of God, the people stood up to hear it. I mean, man, imagine having such a reverence for the word of God that when somebody's about to read it, you stand to your feet. I think sometimes we get so comfortable with the word. We get so casual with the word. It's just something else to read. But there was a certain reverence they had. He's about to read the book of the law, and people are like standing in attention. And I love it says in that scripture that the people, the Levites, took the time to explain the scripture, to walk them through the scripture, to expound on the scripture. Modern day today, there's too many people who just give you a scripture, don't expand on it, just ask the word, keep on moving. Sometimes they're message don't have nothing to do with the scripture they read, but they keep on moving, and you don't understand one lick. Why would we even use that scripture? But he talks about there was a blessing here that the people as he walked away blessed because he expanded on it. But it says as he was reading the word, the people were getting sad. And the reason they were getting sad is, man, the word of God just exposes some stuff about you, doesn't it? Sometimes it makes you want to cry. Sometimes it exposes how much God loves you, and that makes you want to cry. Sometimes it exposes how far away you are from him, and that makes you want to cry. And sometimes it's just like, you just realize he's over there, and you're over here, and you're like, man, he's so merciful to show me that. It's like the word of God always exposes his goodness. And so as they were getting exposed to God, they were becoming sad. And he said, don't be sad. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. And we say that phrase all the time. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to have the joy of the Lord? So let's talk about joy tonight. We are familiar with the verse in the Bible that says the fruit of the Spirit is love. And the next one is, right? So we at least got that far in the scripture, right? It's like love, joy. We'll go through all of them eventually. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. But I don't know how much time we spend on joy. So what is joy? Joy is a positive attitude or pleasant emotion. And this is natural joy. A positive attitude or pleasant emotion, delight. The emotion of joy comes from experiences and circumstances. That's the emotion of joy. Got that? You don't have to be saved to have this. It comes from experiences and circumstances. So it also leaves with experiences and circumstances, right? So think about things that bring joy, like the birth of a child brings joy, right? Whether it's yours or not, right? Now, if it's your child, you go home, that goes away pretty quick. Once you stand up, sleep deprivation. Yes, Lord. But it's a joy for everybody else who gets to borrow the baby and hand it back. Weddings bring joy, right? Completing a project brings joy. You put hard work into something and you see the results. Man, seeing other people achieve brings joy. Personal advancement brings joy, right? Goals reach, relationships, fellowships. Man, getting a new job brings joy, right?
Yes, sir.
I don't know why keeping the current job doesn't have the same joy, but new jobs always seem to bring a high level of joy. That's the Walter Grease
piece. Yes, sir.
Some people, shopping brings joy. There's a way to get in. Keep an eye on the ladies. Here's one of my favorites. Eating brings joy.
Yes.
Yes, God. Yes. That's cool. So we know there's all kind of ways we can experience natural joy. Let's talk about the joy of the Lord, though. The joy of the Lord is like, it's not carnal or sensual. It's not based on feelings or circumstances. It's eternal. It's not temporary. See, the joy of the Lord is not about how your face looks. I mean, is it, here's some joy. Just because you ain't smiling don't mean you don't have joy. You might not be a smiler. Right? It's eternal. We used to sing this song back in when I was in the Church of God in Christ, saying, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Some people used to be there, yes. And it says, since the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away.
Come on.
Right? But that has so much meaning. It's like, man, the joy that I have didn't come from anything on this world. Anything in this world. Nothing. So since I didn't get it from this place, nothing in this place can affect it. I hope that we learn how to live out of that, because that's a nice song, but it's better when you live it. Right? So nothing on this earth satisfies like the joy of the Lord. Nothing. Let me show you a scripture to back that up. Psalm 4 and 7 says, you have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and new wine abound. What he's saying, back then grain and new wine was the thing. That's all they were about back then. Make sure my food is taken care of, make sure my drink's taken care of. And he was saying, look, you put gladness in my heart that nothing on this earth, even the best things that this earth has to offer, cannot compare to. So the joy of the Lord, it comes from focusing on the goodness of God, which is God himself, right? Psalm 16 and 11. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness. So the other joy we experience is faith. Part-time joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there is pleasures forever. Man, see, I love this. Tonight we're just letting the word do the teaching. All right? And it's in this teaching mode, right? Like, in the fullness of joy is in the presence of God. So whenever we distance ourselves from the presence of God, we're going after less. Come on, you ever notice like the weeks that we do a fast and you're like focused and in the presence of glory, you're like, man, this is awesome. And then soon the fast is over, you get out of it. It was so awesome that you bailed and went to less. If what you were fasting brought you closer to God, why are we so quick to just say, well, that's over. Don't call another one of those. I know people are cringing at it. Don't call another media fast. Oh, you didn't call an etiquette fast, are you? It was great. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Don't call it again. But man, if you got more of God, in his right hand is pleasures forever. His pleasures forever. But that's where our joy comes from. Our joy comes from the goodness of God, being in the presence of God. Our joy also comes from seeing God pleased. So we should have a joy that comes from seeing that God is being pleased with us. That's from Ephesians chapter 5, chapter 5, verse 9 and 10 says this: "For the fruit of light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." That's our life. You got to understand this. When God is pleased, he shares his joy with you. When God, come on, I don't think we understand God. When God is pleased, he shares his joy with you, which is greater than anybody else's joy you can share in. So the key to walking, one of the keys to walking in the joy of the Lord is to live a life that's pleasing to God, because then he's going to share his joy with you. And the scripture said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You see how God puts the puzzle pieces together? You please God, that brings God joy. And his joy is your strength. So the more you please God, you're actually blessing yourself. So if that's the case, if the joy of the Lord is my strength, and it's about, and pleasing God brings him joy, and that's my purpose as a Christian, then what pleases the Lord? And what does it look like? So let's look at four areas in which we can please the Lord. The first area is faith. That faith, repentance, reproduction, and fellowship. And reproduction is not about having babies. We'll talk about that in a minute. So let's talk about faith. One of the four things we can do, and again, there's more than four ways, but we're going to talk about four. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, let the word tell us. "And without faith, it is impossible to please him." See why faith made the list? For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. So without faith, we cannot please God. Okay, then what is faith? Well, let the word tell us. From Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 2. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval." I love how that reads, because in other translations, and I try to use the NASB most of the time, which is like the second most accurate translation, it says the conviction. I see things like that says the evidence of things not seen, but it says the conviction of things not seen. So you got to understand about faith. Faith means that I am so convinced that what God says is true, it's going to affect my actions. See, that's, I have a conviction. I'm so convicted that what God says is true, it is going to affect every action in my life. I love that somebody posted from a church this week that the definition of faith is simply action. Because faith without action is that it's not faith. Right? Faith means, according to the scripture, if faith is means that he rewards those who diligently seek him, then faith must, in seeking him, is an action. So real faith is action. There's no such thing as faith without action. So our faith pleases the Lord, but not just that I believe that he exists. My faith that pleases the Lord is I see his word, whether I like it or not. And sometimes I read the scripture and I don't like what it says, because it requires me to do something. But I see his word, and I'm going to do his word. I'm so convicted by the love of God that I'm going to do his word, even if it hurts. That's faith. And nothing will stop me from not doing his word. So the second thing that pleases the Lord is repentance. And if we go back to the Nehemiah scripture, man, the Lord loved that the people's heart was grieved when they read the scripture. When we read the scripture, it should bring about some change in us. Repentance is not a, okay, I sinned, I got to do right now. I sinned, I got to do right now. No, repentance means I'm drawing closer to God now than I was before. I'm getting closer to God today than yesterday. You don't have to sin to repent. Repentance means I'm turning more towards God. You got that? And we should be repenting regularly. You should be getting closer to God every day. You should not be in the same place you were last week. You shouldn't be, oh, I keep slipping up. Stop slipping up. That's repentance. Well, I don't know if I can stop slipping up. Yes, you can. Somebody put a gun to your head and says, don't slip up. You won't slip up. Oh, so you can stop. When the stakes are there. You know, I've seen people who struggle with different things, and someone said, well, I struggle with pornography. I said, okay, if I put a gun to your kid's head, and I turn pornography on to your right, and I said, if you turn your head to the right, I'll blow your kid away. And you stop. I wouldn't look. So you can do it when you think the stakes are high enough. And I don't think we realize when it comes to sin, there is a gun to your head and your kids' heads, even the ones you don't have yet. And it just got to matter enough for you to say, I'm not going to do it. Right? And I think if you really saw God, you don't, if you really saw God, that's worse than a gun being put to your head. There wasn't too many people in the scripture who said they slipped. I really can't find them. So again, we should be turning towards him, but that should be every day. And check the scripture out about repentance. Luke chapter 5, verse 7. Show how much repentance pleases the Lord. It says, I tell you this, that in the same way, there will be more joy. See that word? There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who don't need repentance. So when we read the word, and you just read the words and say, yeah, God, you're right. I'm going to do that. You know there's a party in heaven? See, we always get all happy about the guy who was like, I was out there drawn up, torn down, and drunk, and now I give my life to the Lord. Like, oh, there's a party in heaven now because he came home. There's a party every time you read the scripture. And you let the scripture deal with you. When God shows you I'm over here, and you say, I'm on my way over there, there's a party in heaven. Just when he says, look, make that attitude adjustment. And you say, yes, Lord, there's a party in heaven. Look, when he says, give a little more. He says, yes, Lord, there's a party in heaven. See, there's joy. That's God's joy to see you turning towards him more every day. There's just this ongoing party in heaven. Why? Because we please the Lord and his joy is now infecting heaven. See that? The other thing that pleases the Lord outside of our repentance is reproduction. You know that reproduction pleases the Lord? Let me show you this. Matthew chapter 25, verse 23. And you go back and read the whole parable for yourself, but in the parable of the talents, he said, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Why was the master so happy? Why was he so filled with joy? Because God is into reproduction. If you read that parable, he gave all of them some talents. And when they came back, one reproduced, and the other one, second one reproduced, and the third one didn't. And he said, enter into the joy of your masters of the first one who took the gifts and abilities and talents that God gave him and reproduced. And I use the second one here who didn't have as much talent as the first one. And he took his talents and he reproduced. And he says, you were faithful with a few. I can trust with one because you saw reproduction as important. But then there was the one who took the talent that God gave him and sat on it and returned it back to him. And he said, he kicked him out. He said, you wicked, lazy slave. You should have did at least invested my talents. So I at least would have got it back with interest. He took his talent, gave it to the one who had the most, and he says, threw him out of the kingdom where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know anywhere out in the rest of the Bible weeping and gnashing of teeth are associated with heaven. God is into reproduction. Nothing, man, you know what gives God joy is when he gives his children his gifts, his talents, word, his love, his grace, his mercy, his patience, and they go out and they reproduce other children who have the same thing. I challenge everyone in the room, what are you doing with the gifts God has given you? Where are your disciples? Where are your offspring? He's into reproduction. God is not into fruitless trees. When Jesus saw a fig tree that was in full bloom and looked like it should have fruit, and he went up to it and he found no fruit, he cursed the tree. He said, may no one ever get fruit from you again. And sometimes I think we can have our arms raised and we can read our word and we can be at every prayer meeting and we can cry and we look like we're in full bloom. But under close inspection, is there any fruit there? Gotta ask ourselves. And I'll keep asking this question, how long have you been saved? And where are your disciples? Where have you been reproducing? If we get caught up in the cares of this world, we'll spend more time trying to get the things of the earth. I'll spend my whole life trying to chase a relationship, and I have no disciples. Chasing a job, and I have no disciples. Chasing a house, and I have no disciples. Chasing my legacy in life. Where are your disciples? None of that stuff goes with us. We doing all right? But reproduction pleases the Lord. So much that when he saw that, he's like, man, you were so faithful with the little I gave you. Now I can trust you with more. Let me tell you how I got promoted in the job world. I went to a job and I told everybody at the job about Jesus. And I told everybody I ran into about Jesus. And then finally I said, God, I told everybody in here about you. I don't know who else to talk to. And then he gave me a promotion. He said, okay, now it's time for you to go to the next job. I'm not guaranteeing you that you talk about Jesus going to get another job. But maybe you're stuck in the same one because there's still work to do. Because he don't need to elevate you to somewhere else to do what you're doing now if you're not reproducing for him. Well, he said, but if I see you trustworthy with what I've given you, and trustworthy does not mean you made good money and you made great business decisions. Trustworthy means you reproduced the kingdom of God everywhere you went. Praise the Lord. You always give yourself support when there's no amens in the room. So reproduction pleases the Lord. We agree with that from the scripture? So that's another area that brings him joy. And he shares that joy with us. And this other one is fellowship. Fellowship pleases God. You know, fellowship, that's right, but fellowship pushing. Fellowship pleases God so much, you read the scripture, it says, when two or three come together, I'm with you. I don't see them, not that he's not with us by himself, but I'm going by what he said. He said, when two or three come together in my name, I am with them. He said, if two of you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. Right? Fellowship means something to God. Let me show you the scripture in Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon. Coming down from the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. I think we missed that last part. See, the reason I pushed you into fellowship so much, he says it's in fellowship is where the Lord commands the blessing forever. I haven't seen the scripture that says in isolation, he commands the blessing. Right? In isolation and withdrawing, he commands the blessing. No, he says, and when the body is together, he commanded, when they get together, he already says, blessing be there forever, forever. It was so neat today. They had the ladies' fellowship at the house. This is the first time I've ever been there. And I was upstairs in my room. But I could hear the joy. Like, I just heard all these different laughs. I couldn't hear anything else but different laughs coming through my ceiling. I'm like, They're having a great time down there. Now, I'm going to venture to say they don't have as much fun by themselves as when they were there with other people. I don't know what happened there. But now, because all I know is I'm around my wife when she's in another room. Like, when she's in another room, I don't hear her laughing like that. I'd be a little concerned if I did. But you ever notice when it's time for fellowship, something pushes against you? The bed looks a little more comfortable, right? All the excuses, oh, it's raining outside, right? You give every excuse in the world. Do you think that's spiritual? If God says, I command a blessing in fellowship, do you think it's spiritual that the enemy tries to get you to do the opposite? And most times when you leave fellowship, you're like, man, I'm glad I went. I didn't want to go, but I'm glad I went. And honestly, I kind of seen the makeup of some of the people there. I know they didn't want to go. But I could tell by what I heard coming out of there that they were glad they were there. So if that's an area that God commands blessing, he is so pleased by our fellowship that he commands blessing to be there as an overflow of his joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So I'm going to keep pushing you to fellowship. Listen to me. If you are ever in a church and you say, I don't know anybody, it's your fault. He who shows himself friendly has friends. Nobody's going to walk up to you when you're like this and say, be my best friend. Right? If you're like, I don't know anybody at the church, it's your fault. Who did you try to know? I have now seen too many people say, I'm trying to get to know you. I don't want to know you. Hey, well, I don't want to hang out with you. Most of the time, we'll get a room full of people who got the same makeup. Hey, nobody wants to move towards anybody. And then they'll be offended. Nobody moved towards me. Who would you move towards? Nobody, but they should have moved towards me. No. You reap what you sow. And so, we got to move towards fellowship. Can I show you when Jesus walked the earth, the disciples moved towards him? He was just walking. And then the disciples started following him, and he turned around and said, what do you want? And they said, Master, where are you staying? He said, come and see. And that's how the fellowship started. They went after him, and he turned around and said, y'all can hang out with me. See, we read, when y'all read the other ones, when he's picking them up, saying, follow me, I'll make you fish some men, that's the second time he encounters them. The first time, he's just walking. And if that's the model, you might need to go grab somebody and say, hey, can we study the word together? They ain't just about getting together and laughing and having fun. They were getting together and talking about the word of God and talking about insecurity and things. Let's get together around the word of God. That's where God is with us. You got that? So, understand those four things, and there's more areas, but when we please the Lord, that brings him joy. And he shares that joy with us. Now, the flip side is when your life does not please the Lord, you're sabotaging your own joy. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you're living a way that's not pleasing to God, you're sabotaging your own joy. Ecclesiastes 2 and 25. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? For a person who is good in his sight, he has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. Y'all see that? Mm-hmm. While the sinner, he is given the task of gathering and collecting, so that he may give to the one who was good in God's sight. So now y'all, you sabotaging yourself, you collecting for somebody else. You working on for somebody else as this too is striving after the wind. If you find yourself striving after earthly things, you are chasing the wind. The enemy of joy is earthly perspective. The enemy of joy is having an earthly perspective. And this is what gets people in trouble most of the time. We have an earthly perspective, so we don't have much joy. Let me show you some of the symptoms of living out of an earthly perspective. Complaining, comparison, overvaluing earthly possessions. You'll put in great time and effort to get that earthly possession. Overvaluing yourself, thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. You know the person who overvalues himself? They're the one always posting their opinion on Facebook. We don't care what you think. I got a thought. I got a stance on life. Let me post it. Overvaluing themselves. Oh, you overvalue yourself when you think, well, I can't do this because what's going to happen to my image? What image? Some people undervalue themselves. Nobody wants anything to do with me. Nobody's going to want to talk to me. Nobody wants to be my friend. Like, that's still living out. It's now you're undervaluing yourself. This is some of those things, but you're living out of the flesh. You're not living out of the Christian worldview. The only way to have a balance in all that is you must have a Christian worldview, because now I got to look at me the way God sees me. And sometimes you say, God, show me how you see me. You're not as sweet as you think. And then you say, God, show me how you see me. You're not as messed up as you think. Because he don't even call you messed up. He don't call you messed up. You call you messed up. I can't trust me. My mind lies. My mirror lies. My emotion lies. The world lies. I can only trust what God has to say about me. That is a Christian worldview. What does God say about it? I know you got a great plan, even in your Christianity. You got a great plan, but is it God's plan? In everything. I got to have a Christian worldview, because my joy comes from God, and it always starts. There's always, always joy to be found in the God of our salvation. Always. Can I show you that? Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, 18. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no fruit, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. He said, although everything around me is jacked up, I'm going to make a choice. See, understand that? Joy is a choice. Although everything around me is not going the way I want, I'm going to choose not to look at that and focus on that. I'm going to choose to rejoice in the God of my salvation. Man, I got to see that lived out this week. I saw someone that was like having a rough week, and they were telling me about how rough their week was. And then as they were telling me how rough their week was, you know, in my mind, I'm starting thinking, okay, you know, what can I pray for this person? What can I, you know, I'm trying to think, what can I do to make this person feel better? But before I even get to that, they shifted and said, but I got my job. God's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were rejoicing. They had a dental plan. You got a dental plan. They started talking about things that were good. They were choosing, although everything around them was not going the way they wanted, they chose to rejoice in the God of their salvation. Amen. Joy is a choice. Complaining is a choice. Right? It's all choices. Choosing to focus on God. It really is all choice. Remember, he came to change your perspective. The Bible says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This day. I just choose to believe God never made bad days. Because my Bible says, in the beginning, he said, let there be light. And he called light good. And he called light day. So God made the good day. And there's nowhere in creation where he made the bad day. He said day was good. So I said, it's a good day. What kind of day? I always have a good day. That's all he made. Now, there's some things going on in that day that I wouldn't have chosen for myself. But God is good. is choosing to go to that place of, I'm going to let the joy of the Lord be my strength. And nothing that's it. When people live in that, you overcome the world already. What overcomes the world according to the scripture? I need to get more in the word. This is what overcomes the world, our faith. So get this. Faith overcomes the world, but the joy of the Lord gives you the strength to do it. Remember, faith is action. So faith overcomes the world, but it's the joy of the Lord. Man, I've seen people beat cancer, even though it was still in their body. Because they didn't focus on it. They focused on the goodness of the Lord. And they were already healed whether they were going to get up or not. I've seen people beat marital problems. I've seen people beat kid problems. I've seen people beat everything, job problems. Why? Because they weren't in bondage to it. They were like Paul and Silas, man. When they were thrown in prison, they were physically in prison, but they were not in bondage. And they were not going to let their praise be bound. They began to praise the Lord. And guess what? All the chains fell off. Not only they gave, but all the prisoners around them. Man, when we choose to live in the joy of the Lord, it sets us free. And then everybody else gets free. You know what I'm talking about. You know, that person walks in the room and goes, ooh. It sets the tone for the rest of the room. Ooh. Oh, awkward being around them, right? Hey, how you doing, Isaiah? Let me get that couple minutes. You want to get in and out real fast. But when somebody walks in with joy, it sets the whole tone for the room. And that don't mean you got to be bubbly. But man, just the person who's speaking, God's good. God's good. And see, I know what's happened over years. People have kind of like made you feel bad for saying God's good. Oh, you're being fake. No, I'm not being fake. I'm in a lot of pain. But God's good. It is all good. That don't mean it feels good, but it's all good. Because, like he said, is I am. He's all. He's good. It's all good. And I just choose to be crazy enough to live where he is. In that crazy world, but my God says it's all good, something. And I'm going to live in that. That's the joy of the Lord. We follow in that. Man, do you know whatever you're going through right now? You've already beaten it. You've already overcome it. If you begin to get a Christian perspective on it, get God's perspective on it. He didn't oops on your situation. You know, one thing I love about Katie? Katie sits up here all the time and talks about her healing. I met Katie at least 5 years ago, 8 years ago. Eight today, praise the Lord. And Katie's in a wheelchair. But when she came in, she wasn't talking about her healing. But now she sits, she's praising the Lord, more active than most people who have legs. And she's always said, I thank God for my healing. But to the naked eye, nothing's changed. But something's changed inside of Katie. What's your thing that you've been claiming bondage instead of believing the word that he who the Son sets free is free indeed? We just got to change our mindset and begin to focus on Jesus. Man, we're not the church of God in Christ, but I do believe this joy that we have, the world didn't give it to us. And if the world didn't get it, the world can't take it from us. Have you given yours away? Get back to it. Start with the joy of your salvation. No rah-rah for you. He just wanted to teach us in the word about joy. Because you saw in the book, back in that scripture in Nehemiah, so the people started off sad. But once he explained to them, no, don't be sad. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And it says, because they understood what God was saying and that he was there to help them, to empower them. And man, the joy of the Lord, he saw their repentance. He was like, yes, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Then they walked out and celebrated. We should never leave a time of learning about the Lord sad. Because that's the love of God that even showed you some things. But he shows you because he loves you. And he says, when I see you living a life of going after me, it brings me great joy. And now that you've given me great joy, my joy is your strength. And whenever you read this word, oh man, I don't know if I can do that, but I want to do it, God. Oh, that pleases me. I now give you the strength to do it. You can even get real with God. God, I don't want to do it. But nevertheless, not my will, let your will be done. That's all I need now. My joy is your strength. See, God doesn't need wanting workers. He needs willing. And willing and wanting are two different things. I don't want to give up 10% of my income. I can't think of one day I was like, I am so glad to do this. But I'm willing. Then he says, he gets so excited even over those things. He opens up, read Malachi, he said he gets filled with so much joy when we just obey his word to give. God can simply say, don't rob me or I'll kill you. Because he's God, but he don't say that. He says, when you don't rob me, read Malachi chapter 3. He gets filled with so much joy that he will open up the floodgates of heaven. The only time in scripture that he opened up the floodgates of heaven was when he poured out more water than the earth could receive and killed everybody. He says in Malachi, when you don't rob me, you just give me what's mine, I will open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out more blessing than you can receive. So just like I poured out more water than the earth could handle, I will pour out more blessing than you can handle. So much blessing that when people see your overflow of blessing, all nations will call you blessed. And all you did was please the Lord. So y'all get in the word and finish the rest of the story for yourselves. Let's start tonight with the joy of the Lord. God, restore the joy of my salvation. You don't have to look at me anymore. Look inward. Is there any area, God, where I'm not pleasing you? Well, I know you've been speaking to me and I've been hesitating, but man, God, I hear you. That's going to be hard for me, God, but I'm going to do it. He said, oh, my joy would be your strength. I see your faith. The joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. Come on, if somebody's been looking at your circumstances too much, instead of looking at him, God, I repent that I've had my eyes fixed on the things of this world that are temporary, instead of fixing my eyes on you. You name it in this earth, if he created it, it's temporary. You can't get joy from your children like you can get from the Lord. Can't get joy from any relationship in your life like you can from the Lord. God, I repent of asking those things to be God in my life and living in disappointment. I'm done with that, God. I'm done with that, God. Fill me with the joy of the Lord. Fill me with the joy of the Lord.
To stay connected with our church, you can like us on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter using the handle @TryOurChurch. Or you could send us an email to info@TryOurChurch.com. If you'd like to financially partner with our church in carrying out the Great Commission, you can do so through text to give. Just send a text message to 443-201-7266 and include your dollar amount. Thanks for tuning in.